Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church on the last Sunday of 2015. You are here. Special welcome today to Anastasio and Mariana. If you'll just lift your hands real quick. Everyone will look back. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have him here, I think. You said Ines, your brother. Did I get that right? Your brother? Your brother, Ines' brother. So we're glad to have you here, Anastasio. Pray you feel welcomed and part of worshiping together. And it's good to be in church on the last Sunday of 2015. And, you know, I'm excited about what God is doing. And I want to make sure I have a few things jotted down here so I don't forget. But on January, there's some more tangerines in case you didn't see them on your way in. So please take those home with you at the end of the service. I finally emptied my tangerine tree. It's gone. I'm happy about that. So please take them. I find that if you refrigerate them, they last longer. That's what they work for me. So make sure you take those with you at the end of the service today. Also, at the end of the service, we have every year, it's a tradition, we hand out a Ziploc bag with communion cups with the little wafer on them. Is that how you say it? Wafer or what? But the little piece of bread on them. And we have a little agenda. What we encourage all families to do is to sometime during the last day of the year, which is Thursday, to have communion at home with your family. Isn't that a good way to bring in the new year? It sure is. So I want to encourage you to take one of the Ziploc bags. Stephanie will be handing them out. And just let them know how many you want for your family. If you need to take some, if they're not here and you want to take some for family, you just tell her, I need this many cups. And she'll do that with a little bit of a thing of what scriptures to read and stuff. So I want to encourage you to do that as a family to bring in the new year. So we got everything ready for you just to pick up the Ziploc bags on your way out and do that. Praise the Lord. Well, January 10th. Wow, we're going to be in 2016 before you know it. On January 10th, we're having on Sunday night. Sunday night at 6:30, we'll be having a formal church meeting for all those who want to be a formally part of the church. We have membership forms and things like that. It's more of a church business meeting. And there's two things that I want to accomplish there. And so you want to mark this down in your calendar, 6:30 Sunday night, January 10th, in 2 weeks. Is if you are just formally know that you're part of this work that God is doing here, you want to be here. And if you want to get more involved in serving in the church, this will be a perfect place for you to come and learn more about that. So I'll announce it next week as well. But I think that's important that we get ready for the new year and be part of something bigger than ourselves. Amen? Part of something bigger than yourself. So those are the announcements. And I want to take time to pray as we have our last sermon of the year, our last service of the year. And then after I pray, we'll play a video to get started. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for families that have come and their heart hunger and thirst for you, for your righteousness, Lord. It is evident that no matter what's going on in life, they're here to worship you. And Lord, help us together to grow and to desire more of you in our lives. So, Lord, we give you honor, praise, and glory. Just bring forth the word to our hearts and teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our life is a story. It has a beginning and an end. Each of its volumes are filled with tales of great victory and disappointing failure. But one thing is certain. Those moments shape who we are in the present, and they affect our decisions for the future. Many times what stands out from those moments are the failures. Time reveals our numerous unkept resolutions and promises. We resolve to lose those extra pounds, quit that addiction, or become more devout in our faith. But these resolutions often prove difficult to achieve. Perhaps the key to overcoming our struggles lies not in the resolution, but in the motives which drive us. We cannot achieve anything without Christ's guiding hand. His word tells us, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men." Our success does not come from just one decision to change. It comes from a daily decision to walk with Him. What if today we made a resolution that mattered? What if we resolved to invest more time into our families? To love our neighbor as ourselves? To right our wrongs? To pray not at God, but to God? To give without expectation of receiving? What if we made a resolution to become more like Christ? And today, let us make a resolution to struggle for God's glory and not our own. Even though the future is still unwritten, our story has only just begun.
Well, we are reminded that every year, you know, a lot of people start doing resolutions about the new year, and it's a time of hope. You know, 2015 is come and it's gone, and you know, in this church we've been talking about more of God in our lives. And today is the last Sunday of 2015 as we get ready to close out a year and begin a new year. I wanted to share some thoughts about that concept, about more of God. And more on a personal level, what I've learned through this journey this year. What I've learned in seeking more of God in my life. And I want to encourage you to just jot some thoughts down today and go home and pray about them. And the very first thing that stuck out as I was looking back at 2015 and what God has done and the good times and the trials, the very first thing I've come to realize, and the thing that came to mind first, is as we as a church and as I desired more of God in 2015, one of the first things I came to realize is that I'm imperfect human being and I need a Savior. Amen. I mean, if that is one of the things that many times we think that we can do it on our own. And we know that we can't, but we act like we can. And that's one thing I've learned, is that we're not perfect and we're in need of a Savior. And as I read the scriptures in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, if you'll turn there. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. The Word of God says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You know, they were fighting, or they were having these arguments in this time period, where a Jew or a Gentile is closer to God or was better. And Paul made it clear here, there's nobody better. We're all sinners needing a Savior. And that's one thing. And if you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, this scripture is quoted over and over. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." So in my journey to seek more of God in my life, I'm always brought back to this simple fact. I'm in need of a Savior. And all of us are in need of a Savior. I'm not worthy on my own, for all have sinned. I am in need of the one true righteous one to cover, to blot out my sins. It doesn't matter that I have a title of pastor, or it doesn't matter if we think we're good, or if you've served the Lord in a position or served Him for a long time. The simple truth is every day I need to seek more of my Savior in my life. And that hasn't changed. So on this journey to seek more of God in my life, the one thing that remains and that becomes even more and more clear is how dependent we are on Jesus Christ to lead us and to guide us by the Holy Spirit into all truth. More of God means understanding that we need Him every day. Every day. This truth, it keeps us humble. Because we like to say we did it our way, and we like to do things the way we can control them. But it keeps us humble to know this morning that every one of us is in need of that daily relationship, that Savior, of a daily walk with our Savior. Whenever I start thinking, oh, I'm doing this good or I'm doing that, and it's always good to remember, and I try to remember, to God be the glory. Amen? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We need Him. We just need Him. So as we close out this year, number one thing that I've recognized in seeking more of God in my life is that I need a Savior. I need a Savior. The second thing is this fact. God is a good God. He's a good God. In Psalms 145, if you turn there, in Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9, Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. The Word of God says this. The Lord is gracious, and He's full of compassion, and He's slow to anger, and of great mercy. Aren't you glad He's slow to anger? Or none of us would be here. Because the wages of sin is death. And He's gracious, and He's compassion, and He's slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. The Lord is good to all. It's too late to try to convince me that God does not have an extraordinary plan for you and me. I know He does. The only question, the question is not about His extraordinary plan. It will happen, because the Bible tells us that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard the good things He has planned for you. That never changes. Amen? The only question is if we are going to let Him drive and execute this amazing plan for your life. See, the plan is there. He's got the things worked out, or things are amazing in your life, or you see signs and wonders. The only question is, are we going to let Him drive? Surrendering our will to God's will is the way to see God execute this amazing plan. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you are willing to surrender your will to God's will? The popular answer would be all of us would want to. The peer pressure would be for all of us to raise our hands, because not to allow Him to take over our lives, or for His will to take over our life, would be rebellion, right? It would. But the truth is that our actions, as the saying goes, speak louder than words. Saying I want God to take over my life and for His will to be done, and letting Him are very, very different things. Surrendering our will to God's will is so important. The children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness because they would not surrender their will. They would not. The children of Israel did not allow God to execute the plan of being in the promised land. It was there for them. The Old Testament was clear that God had shown, had intended for the children of Israel to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. But because they wouldn't let God's will become their will, they fought it. Instead of being in a land filled with milk and honey, they had to go and look for water in rocks. And they had to go look for manna to sustain themselves. And even then, God was slow to anger, and He was compassionate, and He was good. So the only question is, are we going to let God drive? And that's one thing that I learned in 2015 as I sought more of God in my life, is that this amazing plan that God has for your life, for my life, it's amazing. And I don't need to wonder if it's going to happen or not. If we surrender our will to God's will and begin to live according to His word, we will see signs and wonders. He will prepare the way for you. And many of you have either finances or relationships or things that you wish you could change. Surrender your will to God's will. Read your Bible and pray every day. Seek Him. Seek more of Him. And the question is not, will God do something amazing? The question is, how is God going to do something amazing? He's going to do it. Amen? There's no doubt in my mind. It's too late to convince me that God doesn't have an extraordinary plan for you and me. It is an extraordinary plan. The third thing I learned in seeking more of God in my life is this. The enemy doesn't give up. 1 Peter 5:8. If you think that the enemy is falling asleep and he's just going to let you grow stronger and stronger in the Lord without trying to throw those fiery darts at you, as the Bible says, all right, then we're living in ignorance. The enemy doesn't give up. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober. What is the opposite of sober? Anybody know? Drunk. Thank you, Pete. Thank you. Be sober. You know what drunkenness does? It makes you do dumb things. And God doesn't want you to do dumb things. He wants us to be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour. See, I didn't come up with this. The scriptures are clear. The enemy does not give up. He'll look for those areas in your life and in my life, and he'll look for the weaknesses, and he'll go. And here's a perfect illustration. Those of you who struggle with anger, does anybody struggle with anger? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Some of you so honestly did. That's okay. How many times does the enemy use something and all of a sudden he uses that weakness and you get angry and you say things and you regret them and you just feel more miserable because you know the enemy is getting the better of you in that sense. See, he will use your weaknesses to try to come in and disrupt your walk with him. He will. And one thing I learned in seeking more of God in my life is the enemy doesn't give up. He will even resort to trickery. If you go to, we all know John 10:10. We don't have to turn there. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking in whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And he'll even resort to trickery. The Bible says in chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The enemy will make things look beautiful, but it's not always according to this word. That's why in all things, our life has to line up with the word of God. Because the enemy doesn't give up. And I'm sure in 2015, you like me, had situations where the enemy came and he tried to destroy and he tried to kill relationships, finances. He tried to devour. But here's the good news. You're here. He didn't succeed. Amen? Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we make mistakes. But here we are on the last Sunday of 2015. You know what's the least attended service? The week after Christmas. But you're here. Because you made a decision that I'm going to fight. I'm going to get up. Holiday time, everybody's bumming, right? Sleeping late. Well, at least my daughter's sleeping late till like 12 p.m. late. But you're here. So the good news is this. Though the enemy never gives up, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he's not winning. And that puts a smile on my face. And what I learned in 2015 is there are people in this church and in your family that is determined. As for me and my house, I've considered the cost. I am serving God Almighty. Amen? That's you. I get excited because I know that's you. And when you have people who have set their mind and their heart that they're going to live for God, that they are going to surrender their will to God's will, all of a sudden, signs and wonders follows the preaching of the gospel. And you will see God move mountains for you. And you will go to the promised land. And God will deliver your finances. Even when it's hard in your finances and you're struggling and you're battling, he's going to come through because he's not a liar. Seek him first and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. You can claim that scripture. Amen? All right, pray. So many people are claiming that scripture and then living like the devil on Monday and expecting God to make all things come to pass. That's not the way it works. Seek him. Line up your life with this word. Jesus made it clear. He made it clear that, and he sent his Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. I've learned that the enemy is looking for any opening, sin, disobedience in our life to attack and bring disunity or burdens and stress to keep you. The reason he does it is so that you can keep your eyes off Jesus. But Jesus made it clear, I will die, but I will rise again and I'll send the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth. That is why many of you in this place, you've taken the best shot of the enemy and you are still growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. The more you journey through hard times, you grow stronger and stronger in your faith. Because the Holy Spirit living in you is reminding you the truth that God is a good God. So that's why we just grow and grow, because there is nothing the enemy can do to stop us. Nothing. The Holy Spirit living in you reminds you the truth that God is a good God. It reminds you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Reminds you to be filled with the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in seeking more of God in 2015, these three things, there's four total, but let me review them. The first thing was this. We are imperfect and we need a Savior. Number two, God is always a good God. And number three, the enemy doesn't give up. And number four, and through it all, your faith grows stronger and stronger and stronger. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, verse 7 through 9. But through it all, you're growing stronger and stronger. Reminds me of the church in the book of Acts. Here they were, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to get bold. That is, when I read the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, they got bold. The Bible says that they got bold. And here they are. Peter was running with the tail between his legs, scared, denying Jesus three times. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he's out in the temple in the middle of the city of Jerusalem, and he's boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And through it all, and the enemies was trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But through it all, Paul, Peter, all the disciples, they grew stronger and stronger and stronger, even through persecution. And in verse 7 of chapter 4, it illustrates what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. He's like, we got Jesus. This is the treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And Paul understood it wasn't about him. He understood it wasn't about him. That it was about God and his power, not our power. And he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but forsaken, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. They grew stronger and stronger. In seeking more of God in 2015, I've learned this. Once you go down this journey of saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you've made a decision, no matter what, I'm going to serve my God. Like the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going into that fire and I'm not ever going to bow down to anybody else. But my God will deliver me or I'll be in eternity with him forever. Either way, I win. That's their attitude. That's when we finally get that, nothing's going to stop you. You will see signs and wonders. You will see God move. You will see miracles. I believe so strongly in how God is a God of miracles, of healings. But I also believe so strongly that we should be seeking Jesus first and the miracles will follow. You know, there are people seeking the miracles. And Jesus said, don't be seeking signs. He says, the perverse generation, you'll see the sign, and then 2 weeks later, you'll be to yourself again. Seek Jesus first. Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the gospel. Don't follow the signs and wonders. Follow Jesus. And everything else will fall into place. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and last scripture in closing, Michelle can prepare to come up and we'll close in song. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, so Paul was explaining to the Romans about basically religion versus faith. You know, religion being a set of rules, You know, many times when someone in the world, when the world hears somebody in the church say, "I'm not religious," they're like, they don't understand that. Because to them, religion is someone who's following Jesus. But those of you who've been following Jesus understand the difference between religion like the Sadducees and Pharisees and a relationship like Paul and Peter had with Jesus Christ. How many know there's a difference? If you're getting more and more religious, do's, don'ts, certain way of doing things, that is man's way of serving God. But Jesus clearly tells us, "I am the vine, be connected, you are the branches." It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a real relationship. Seek Him first. So they were having this discussion. And he says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Not by all the do's and don'ts, but Jesus Christ fulfilled all the laws. He is the way and the only way. "So by whom we all have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto all of us." You see, Paul understood. I'm going to go through tribulations. And 2015, you probably had a lot of tribulations and trials. But through it all, Paul understood all of this works patience. And it works experience and hope. You see, because through it all, God has a plan, and He's a good God. And the plan is this. He is perfecting you. He's molding and He's shaping you through your experiences. Yes, even the hard ones. He's molding and He's shaping you to become something beautiful and powerful, in which signs and wonders will happen by your ministry, by who you are. You may be thinking, I don't have a ministry. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a ministry. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And your ministry is this. You will impact people for the kingdom of God. In seeking more of God in 2015, I've learned more than anything else, as we grow stronger and stronger, that no matter what's happening around me, God's got this. He's got it. All things work together for good. So because I know God's word is truth, any trial or hard time that comes my way, God will bring good out of evil. Every time. All the time. He's a good God. We're closing the year. You'll close your eyes and bow your heads. We sought more of God in 2015. And along that journey, we've learned there's good times, there's bad times, but one thing remains. His word is truth. We're growing stronger and stronger in Him. And we have made a decision, and we are determined that life is not worth living if Jesus Christ is not driving our life. We've made a decision on this journey. It's all about Jesus. More of God, more of Him. Not more religion, but more relationship. More of getting on our knees in our quiet closets. More of saying, "Lord, I surrender my will to your will by the power of the Holy Spirit. Reveal to us, O Lord, what your will is in our lives. Reveal to us by your Holy Spirit. Not to seek what man seeks. Not to seek a list of do's and don'ts. But to seek the powerful relationship that's in Jesus Christ. The one that Paul and Peter understood. Teach us, Lord. Jesus, you told the disciples, you see me and you believe. But more blessed are they that believe that never will see me. That's you and me this morning. In 2015, we've had good times, we've had hard times. But here we are, the last service of the year. And you've made it. You're growing stronger and stronger. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter the things that you did wrong. You are here today to close out the year, to make an effort, to push every hindrance aside. And say, Lord, I trust you. And I've decided to live for you.